Can happen. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand once more, please. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Dave, for that testimony of the goodness and the mercy and God's healing power that is still working in your life as well as others. Declare with me, I am healed by Jesus' stripes. I declare that up on my body. Right now I am healed, that by Jesus' stripes I was healed. I am healed. We were healed. We are healed. And we thank you. We praise you, Lord. We glorify you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Worship the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. I believe the Holy Spirit is moving, and I believe that the healing power of Jesus is flowing in the people's lives because He's a mighty God. He's a supernatural God. He's the God of miracles, and He is able. He is the God that is able. Whatever is going on within yourself right now, you speak and declare over yourself that healing power of Jesus, because greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. And He is our healer. And we praise you and we thank you, Lord Jesus. We glorify you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. You may be seated. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Again, I just want to emphasize, if you can be here tonight for prayer, please do. We're in crucial times in this world. We see what's happening in Paris. Even this morning, there's roughly 1 million people meeting out there. Leaders from 50 countries are out there. There's something happening in our world right now. There's a move of God. There's a spiritual warfare going for the nations of the world right now, right down into homes. And this is the time that we come together as the body of Christ. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you to do that. One thing Satan will always try to fight us most on is our prayer life. And that's where many of us are very weak, is in our prayer life. And that takes effort. It takes energy to move forward. Even when you don't feel like it, we don't walk by our feelings. We walk by the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I don't feel like it, but I'm going to pray. I'm going to be there because you ask us to do it. And what's exciting, people, I want to encourage you. God says He hears our prayers. And He answers our prayers. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. I'm going to be speaking out of chapter 6 and 7 in Judges this morning. Trumpets, lamps, and clay pots. And I believe it comes right down into where we live today. In the 6th and 7th chapter of the book of Judges, we find the events of Gideon, who is called by God, "Thou Mighty Man of Valor." Wouldn't that be a nice title on you, huh? Thy Mighty Man of Valor. He still believed, Gideon still believed in the true God, but not like the other men of the city. Or even his own father. They worshiped the Baal. They worshiped Baal. And I was thinking about that. You know, a lot of times we worship a lot of different things other than God in our lives too, if we are not careful. And there's people today that even worship the culture more than God. They're more concerned about the culture. And we need to be aware of that. And his story is almost unbelievable simply because Gideon was not a warrior, a great military commander. He was a farmer who was hiding his wheat crop from the Midianites who had conquered Israel. And those Midianites came into their country by the grasshoppers, it says in Scripture here. Like grasshoppers, there's multitudes of them that came in and took over. And that's why the people were conquered, because they were doing evil before God. And you know, that same God that was back there is the same God that we serve today. And when nations and people are not obeying God and doing what God has called us to do, do you think he still does the same things? I wonder. What's happening to the nation right now? I thought about Paris when I was doing this message, because over in Paris right now with this Islamic radical movement going on, there's, what are they called, zones? No-go zones. No-go zones. They're literally taking over a nation within a nation. Evil's coming in, controlling the nation. What's happening in America, what's happening in France, is happening even in America right now. We're having areas. We've already got one in Michigan, a no-go zone. And that's how it works. And when we get God out of our schools, when we get God out of our politics and everything else, and even out of our churches sometimes, anything can happen. But Gideon, the mighty man of valor, he was hiding by a wine press while threshing his wheat when the angel of the Lord came to him. And, you know, I thought that was exciting whenever I read that, the angel of the Lord, because literally, this is none other than the Lord himself that was meeting with Gideon. It was the Lord himself. It was pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus back then. God is at work with his creation from the beginning to the end. Isn't that awesome? That was God himself that was visiting with Gideon. And Gideon wasn't prepared to take the reins of command. By the way, you can verify that in chapter 6 when you read verses 13, 16, and 22 also. Gideon wasn't prepared to take the reins of commanding an army. He was leading a simple life, existing from day to day as God provided him the means to do so. Does that kind of seem like you and I? We're just living our day, our life from day to day, and God's meeting our needs. Boy, it seems quiet in here today. Hallelujah. He probably never once thought of becoming a deliverer of his people. And you know, that's a shame, because even within a church like this today, we have people that they've never ever thought of becoming something for God that they thought they couldn't or couldn't do. That God can do anything he wants through any one of us in this place. See, he knows something about us that we don't know about ourselves, and he knew something about Gideon also. See, he had no power within himself, Gideon speaking, no knowledge of warfare and tactics, no education, the use of weaponry, and no ability to lead men into battle. In other words, he was just a common citizen trying to make the best way he knew how. But God saw something in this man Gideon that no one else could see. God saw that Gideon was nothing in his own eyes as well as the eyes of other men. And I like that. I like that. Gideon was the least likely of all his brethren, since he even said that he was the least in his father's house. There's some humility there, right? And that his family was poor in Manasseh, even that small, poor tribe, they were the poorest of the poor. That's where Gideon was. And the angel of the Lord had to overcome three objectives in Gideon that Gideon had before he would be convinced. Gideon's feelings of responsibility to his family and welfare, his doubts about his calling, and his feelings of inadequacy for the job. I'm reminded of Paul's words in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 and 29. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Did you hear that? But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things, meaning the lower things of the world, and the things which are despised have God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Amen. See, that's why he uses you and I. Now, I didn't call you foolish. Paul did not say not any, but he said, not many wise, not many mighty, not many noble did God call. Not many at all, because God's using the other. He's using the other. See, God's view of who is useful to his kingdom is so very important from our own. We look for those who have talent, don't we? I want the talented person here that can really have an impact on the people. We look for those who are influential or who are wealthy, people that have titles and maybe very wealthy in the community. Those are the people we want in our church, because we if we got them, boy, we can do anything. And we can say, well, we know so-and-so. We look for those who are great speakers and those of high education. We look for those who everyone would call beautiful people, because we think that somehow the fleshly appearance and ability will draw the crowds or bring down the Spirit of God in a special way. And that's why I love serving the Lord. He's not a respecter of persons. He's even used me. The foolish things of the world. God's allowed me to speak into people's lives who are highly educated. I couldn't even figure out what words they were talking about. I couldn't even spell them. But God allowed me to lead people like that to the Lord. And I couldn't take any glory for it. See, that's what we as men and women, many times, that's who we're looking for to fill a church. No, we're looking for people that God wants in here, that he wants to save their souls. He wants to heal. He wants to deliver. And he wants to use your and my life as individuals, not only in here, but when we leave these doors and we go out into the world. We are important to God in the sense that he can move through us. As incapable as we may feel, the Holy Spirit can still do a great work in you and I, just like he was doing in Gideon's life. Let me tell you that God doesn't look for what we look for in those that he will use. God looks for a willing vessel. Did you hear that? He looks for a willing vessel, but more than that, God looks for that willing vessel that is broken and powerless without him. Many times people who have been blessed with great speaking abilities, great talents, and blessed with many, many different things, they rely on those things in themselves, and they don't rely upon the power of the Holy Spirit. And I tell you what, nothing is greater than when you are in need and you know it's going to fail unless God intercedes in your life. And I tell you, that's what God is looking for, people that are broken. People that are broken. It says in Psalms 34:18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. That's who God draws nigh to. That's why I'm not interested in what's happening today in all the big mega churches, because I'm listening to what's happening in the mega churches and watching what's happening even to these charismatic people that are in power within these churches and everything, and how they're beginning to fall. They are, because they've been relying on their own abilities of writing books and taking credit for everything and thinking, I'm the reason this church is the way it is. God is the one who does the work. It's through the power of the anointing of the Holy Spirit that we depend upon God. I'm not concerned about all the junk stuff. I'm concerned what God is concerned about. And I need him to do what I do here. You need him to do what you do here and in your lives. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All of us pray to be more like Jesus, don't we? We should. All of us have whispered the prayer in some fashion that says, God, Lord, make me what you would want me to be. Yes. That's always our prayer, isn't it? Make me what you would want me to be. Let there be less of me and my desires, so that more of you may be manifest through me, and let your desires become mine. That's what we need, the desire of God. We get that through the Holy Spirit moving within our lives. If you haven't had a desire for winning the lost, you need to draw nigh to Jesus and see what his heart is. Because he hung on a cross and he died for mankind in order to save them. Remember John the Baptist in John chapter 3, verse 30? He says, he must increase, but I must decrease. It's not about us. When we come to church on Sunday mornings, it's not about you and I. Who's the smartest? Who's the richest? Who's the whatever? It's about Jesus. That's what we come together as the body of Christ for, to lift up the name of Jesus, because he is the source of everything within us, our very being. And he, when we people come to Crossfire Assembly and churches like this, we worship God. We take time to come and say, Lord, we take time out of our lives to come before you and to worship you, because, Lord, we need you. We look to you. You are the source. You are the one who has made it, given me the ability to get things in life and to do jobs and to do whatever. It's you, and we come before you and we worship you. Amen. And that's why we do it. It's not about us. See, John the Baptist, he was a voice of one crying in the wilderness. One voice. That's all he was, is one voice. A man out in the wilderness with a voice. And that voice was stilled shortly there. It was taken away. But you know something? God still used Brother John. He still used Brother John to prepare people for the way of the Lord. With that lone voice, and he made ready a people for the Lord. That one voice in the wilderness, God used that voice. I like what Tommy Tenney says in his book, God's Eyes View. He says, less is better and nothing is best. I like that. I tell you what he's saying is that God will only use those vessels that are powerless to take away credit for what God wants to do through their lives. God will not share his glory with any man, and no man can say that he did anything to accomplish anything for God. Everything that I do in my life, I've done in my life, especially after coming to Jesus, is because of Jesus. That's the only way. He's the one working through my life. He's the one working through your life. He's the one that speaks into your life. He, like Dave said this morning, he gives revelation. He gives direction. He convicts our lives as he guides us too. He convicts us and he guides us, and it's through him, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that helps you and I live out our Christian life. But he gets all the glory. All the glory. If I've won somebody to Christ, it's because if God chose that person and I was a willing vessel to be used, but I couldn't have done it. I could have never saved a soul in my life. It's only the one that hung on the cross, and he's the one we lift up and we praise, because it's him that lives in me that gives me a belly flowing with rivers of living water to share the gospel with the lost world. He gets all the glory. He gets all of it. I get none of it. It's all because of Jesus. It's all because of Jesus. See, God will wait and allow us to drain all of our resources, to use all of our abilities, to exhaust our strength, and to come to the end of our rope. That's a good place to be when you know Jesus. And then when we have done all we can do to no avail, and we bow our heads and surrender to him, that's when God will take over to move on our behalf and to accomplish his will in your life and my life. When we are totally dependent upon him. That's the way God wants us. We are totally dependent upon him. You know, I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were saying, well, I'm this and I'm that, and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. You know something? I can't get into details with it, but I'll tell you what, they're missing out. I told them, the scripture teaches us to cast all of our care upon him. All of our care, we cast it upon him. You don't control. If you are controlling, you're playing God. You're the one that's being God, and you can't see God working in your life because you're the controller. Isn't that truth? That's why I can't dictate to my wife. I can't dictate to my son-in-law to do this and to do that. That's it, better be my way or the highway. is what I do is I cast both of them upon the Lord and say, Lord, do a work in their hearts. Do a work in their lives because I can't do it. All I can do is get them angry at me. That's all I can do. But I ask the Holy Spirit, do a work in my family. I cast everything in my life upon you. When things seem like they're going out of order, when your finances seem like they're going away, when your health thinks like it's going down the drain, and you just don't know what to do, and doctors don't know what to say to you anymore, you know what you do? You cast it upon Jesus and say, Lord, I'm drained of myself. I give myself to you wholly, and he moves in, and he does a supernatural work in your life. And sometimes God can't do anything in our life because of our free will and we want to do our own thing. But once we release it to Jesus, once we give it all to him, sit back and watch God do a supernatural work in your life. It's awesome. It's awesome to serve a God like that. God first had Gideon reduce his army. When you get into the story, he reduced his army by sending 22,000 men who were fearful and afraid back home. Scripture tells us. Did you hear that? 22,000 were afraid and fearful, and he sent them back home. That's in Judges 7:3, by the way. And leaving only 10,000 to face the 135,000 Midianites. Isn't that something? But you know, it's exciting because we serve such an awesome God. Yes. I'm not done. Because then it was diminished to only 300 men. That's the God we serve. So see, when we come together as a church to pray for our nation, to pray for our church, to pray for our community, and people say, well, we're just a little church. We don't mean anything. You're talking to the wrong God. Because here, that God of the Bible that I live for and love hung on the cross, he got this army down to 300 men to defeat 135,000 Midianites. And that's how God moves in your and my life, too, when we're down to us. In God, we don't have to be defeated. We don't have to be discouraged. We have to realize that I serve a supernatural God. Why? It says in Judges chapter 7, verse 2, and the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands. Lest Israel vaunt, meaning boast themselves against me, saying, mine own hand has saved me. He wanted them to know that it was him that saved them so they couldn't take credit for it, take glory for it, but God knew what he was doing. God chooses to use these earthen vessels, these earthen vessels he chooses to use, you and I, this body of flesh, in its imperfect, its corrupted body that is destined to return to the earth, and yet God will use this flesh to do his will. Isn't that incredible? That mighty God, he has placed his spirit within our hearts, and we are held captive inside an imperfect clay vessel. A perfect Lord living inside an imperfect clay vessel. Judges chapter 7:16 says, and he, Gideon, divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. Now, if that had been me, I'd say, get the submachine guns out and the bombs. That had been me. But see, God, you know, what's unique about Gideon? He was actually listening to God. Why don't you and I listen to God? Gideon got his orders and his instructions from Almighty God, and he was listening to him. I'm going to read that again. And Gideon divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. Gideon's army of 300 men was divided, and every man was given a trumpet. Every man, those 300. Now, where do you get those trumpets? It's probably not a big deal, but, you know, with all the thousands that were there, there was probably a lot of trumpets laying around on the ground. So he had enough trumpets to go around. But he gave every one of those men, 300 of them, trumpets. Not guns or bows and arrows. He gave them trumpets. The trumpets were likely left behind, you know, like from the other guys. But 300 men blowing a trumpet all at once would be a signal to the enemy that many more would be with each trumpeter. God had a plan. God had a plan. We would try to rationalize it out, but see, God already knew when they started blowing those trumpets. Trumpets like bugles of the U.S. Cavalry were used to signal the attack of a large body of men. They were used during the fighting to give all types of signals to the Midianites so they could imagine that there were at least 300 companies of soldiers coming down upon them. That's what would have been in their minds, those 300. God has given each of us an earthen vessel for his service, a trumpet that we must sound also. Did you know that? We're given a voice. We're given a voice and an ability to communicate to the devil and his kingdom that God's army is on the move. We've got to start trumpeting our voices in a world that needs to hear the trumpet. But we get so afraid of what's happening in the world. A few. We see the multitudes of people and we get scared. But you know something? Our voice has got a trumpet. And pretty soon, God's going to raise up more and more trumpets, and people are going to be afraid. Man, there's a lot of us out there, and there are. We have him surrounded, and we are on the offense, people. The devil's a loser. He's not going to win this. I read the end of the book. We win. Each of us can shout forth, can't you? Can you shout forth? I can shout forth. I got a trumpet. Each of us and all of us are anointed by the power of the Holy Ghost, and each one of us can call down the armies of heaven to defeat our enemy. Isn't that amazing, the God that we serve? Hell's greatest fear is the prayer that God's people pray, because he knows that God hears and answers prayer. He knows that. So why aren't we praying to a God that can hear us? Why aren't we doing what we're supposed to do according to the word of God and blowing the trumpet? We need to answer that in our own personal lives, don't we? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 3 and 5 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." See, the weapons of our warfare are not with swords and guns, people, but God's weapons. We have to remember that. Spiritual in nature, and against them hell has no defense. What's happening in the world today is not physical. It's a spiritual warfare that's going on. And we don't look to the government. We don't look to the military. We look to Almighty God. And I believe that's what God is doing in these end times before Jesus comes back. He's speaking to the nations. Look to me. I'm the mighty God. I am the one who will bring down the evil forces. And he speaks through his people to do that. And he speaks through us. The weapons of our warfare are not with swords and guns, but God's weapons. In Ephesians 6:17, we have the word of the Lord. Don't we? Sharper than a two-edged sword that can cut the devil's devices and condemn his power to a point of ineffectiveness. That's how sharp God's word is, the word of the Lord. We have the sword of the Spirit, the sword of the Spirit, the power of God within us, the anointing of the Holy Ghost that allows us to speak as though it is God himself and the devil cannot stand against it. We need men and women of faith in the days that we live, especially. We need to begin walking in the power of the Holy Ghost. When we speak, we need to have the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon us, that when we stand up, we do it with boldness, with confidence, knowing that our God is a mighty God and he lives within it. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world that I am looking at. And when we speak forth, we do it with confidence in our life. Whew. I'm excited about Jesus because he's a mighty God. What we see happening in the world, we should not be walking around dismayed. We should know that we have a mighty God that is doing a work in the world, and he is beginning to do it through his people. For he's coming for a church. He's coming for a church, people. See, we have the shield of faith to stop every fiery bullet that Satan can cast at us. Our young people got to hear this stuff. They've got to be encouraged in it. They've got to be encouraged in it when they see mommy and daddy fighting in the home. They've got to be encouraged to see. They got to hear the word of God spoken in the home. Not just in the church. They need to hear the word of God spoken in the school. And they need the word of God spoken at work. Because it's the word of God. It's a sharper than a two-edged sword. And little Johnny and Susie have got to have some confidence and not be fearful. And they got to know that the God that mommy and dad serve is the God who is bringing them together and keeping them together. Instead of us bowing to our culture. There are no weapons in the arsenal of Satan's power that is effective against the shield of faith, people. None. Is all he can do is roar. Going around as a roaring lion, putting fear and deceit and deception in people's hearts and minds. That's how he does it. Because he has no other weapons. But look at everything that God has given us, and yet we don't use it. Isaiah 54:17. No weapon that is formed against us shall prosper. And every tongue that rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. God's righteousness, not mine. Mine stinks. I do a lot of good things, but it stinks. But God's righteousness is what I depend upon. God won't place those spiritual weapons in the hands of carnally minded people who try to abuse them and then claim the glory for what is done. And I've seen that happen. God won't do it. God chooses to use those who are totally surrendered to him. That's why we need to be in prayer. We need to draw close to Jesus in order to allow those weapons to move through us and for you and I to be used in what God wants us to be used, just like he did with Gideon. God chooses to use those who are less than nothing in their own sight. I'm a nothing. I'm a nothing. Everything that I accomplish, I do it through Jesus. I've said that in sales meetings. When I've got credit for doing a great job on certain things, bringing in accounts, I simply say to the owners, I'm going to say this because it's part of my faith. I was able to do it because of the Lord Jesus Christ in my life. And it get quiet as quiet can get. But so what? He chooses to use those who know that it is not by their might or power, but by the Spirit of God that victory will come. That's how it comes through Jesus. All those other things may be good, education, talent, abilities, and all that. But when it gets right down to it, it's all about Jesus. It's because of him. 2 Corinthians 4:7, but we have this treasure. We have this treasure in earthen clay vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Amen? Then Gideon took those 300 men with a trumpet in their right hand and handed them the empty pitcher made of clay in their left hand. Can you imagine that? the trumpet, the clay pitcher with the lamp in it. 300 soldiers, not guns, not swords, trumpets. 300 of them into three companies. Wow. Inside this pitcher, he placed a lamp or a torch. And when the time was right, they would strike their pitchers and the light would suddenly burst forth to light their path to the enemy's camp to confuse the Midianites. Because they also knew that not every soldier carried a torch in the battle. They were thinking, wow, these are the torches. How many men are behind all these torches? God knew what he was doing, didn't he? Can you imagine the faith of these 300 men that God called? I wonder if there was any battle in their minds thinking, what are we doing? 135,000, and we got a trumpet and a pitcher. I don't know, but, you know, Jesus knew what he was doing. Only a few would light the way, while most would follow with their weapons drawn in battle, is the normal way. See, God's conviction power breaks our hard hearts, crushes and destroys that outer shell of humanity, and makes us into a broken vessel that he can use for his glory. Remember the broken lanterns when they were walking down? They broke the lanterns so the torches would light. See, we are those earthen vessels. And inside each of us, God has placed his light of the gospel. I have the light of the gospel that can change somebody for all eternity in me through the power of the Holy Spirit. It isn't me that does the work, but when the light of the gospel that is in me, out of my belly shall flow rivers of living water, I can speak into somebody's life and they will change for all eternity as the Holy Spirit does the work. Just think how God did that in earthen vessels. Then after all the power of the flesh has been broken, his light bursts forth from the inside out so that all the world can see how that our lives become a bright light in a sin-darkened world. That's what the world needs to see. They need to see broken vessels that when we speak the word of God, we're not only speaking it, we're living it. The world has got to see people that are truly in love with Jesus. And we do that as we speak it forth and let that light shine. And we know it's God moving in us and giving us the strength. We cast that light everywhere we go, and wherever the light shines forth, the darkness has got to flee. When I speak into somebody's life that's living in sin, when I speak that light of the gospel in their life, that darkness doesn't like it, and it's got to flee from their lives. It's got to move out of their home. When I come into a home and I speak the word of God into that home, the darkness has got to flee. I went into a man's home that was full of pornography one time, stacked up like this. I'm not exaggerating. Stacked up. And he was telling me he was a Christian. I didn't tell him he wasn't, but I said, "You're a Christian and you're doing all this stuff?" I said, "Who are you praying to?" And he said, "Mary Mother." Make a long story short, led him to Jesus, and I told him, "Get the trash can and dump this stuff out, man," because I gave him the light of the gospel. I went back, and God started doing a new work in this man's life. Not me. The word of God, he started reading the Bible. I told him, I said, "Mary Mother can't save you. She's a sinner just like you and I." I said, "Only Jesus can save you, man. Mary can't speak to Jesus for you either. Only Jesus, he wants to hear directly from you." We get the light of the gospel, that earthen vessel, that lamp that is in us. Amen? Amen? See, Satan lives in the darkness of sin, and the light that shines from within, emanating from the power and presence of God in us, causes him to cringe and run in fear. Did you know that? When we allow God to use these clay vessels and let the lamp of his word, the light of his word, begin to burst out of us, Satan cringes and he's got to flee out of somebody's life. He's got to flee out of your home if you're permitting evil in your home. The light of the gospel That's why we all need to do is we need to just resist the devil and he'll flee. He'll flee from us. There's something else that I want to show you in the story of Gideon here. That's in Judges chapter 7, 17 and 18. And he said unto them, listen to this now. He said unto them, look on me and do likewise, and behold, this is Gideon speaking to this 300, do likewise, and behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow with a trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Those soldiers had to obey, didn't they? They had to follow instructions. I like it when I thought about Jesus there when I read that, because Jesus said, what I hear the Father say, I speak, and what I see the Father do, I do. And Gideon was telling the soldiers to do the same thing here, but I like it when he said, the sword of the Lord, the word of God, and of Gideon. Gideon's orders were simple, but they were absolutely important. No one was to make a move without his direct orders. Their success was fully dependent upon obedience to God's commands to Gideon and relied upon the element of surprise. Our victory in working for the Lord is also completely dependent upon complete obedience to the Word of God. If we are to build the church, it has to be under God's direction, doesn't it? If we're going to accomplish anything, it has to be God's way. We had better be prayed up and tune in with the Spirit of the Lord, or we may find ourselves facing defeat. And that's the scary thing today. There's too many people trying to build a church on man's ways, man's culture, man's things. Oh, it may look successful now, but it is going to fail because it has no solid foundation. We're going to build a church upon the Word of God.
Amen.
The foundation. God's plans won't fail, but our plans will, people. Psalms 127:1, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. And then finally, we must take note of what the army of Gideon was to shout after they broke their pitcher. Their light shine and they blew their trumpets. The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. The sword of the Lord and of Gideon, they shouted. Gideon didn't put his name above the name of the Lord, did he? He didn't do that. He knew it was God's sword, God's battle, and God's victory. Gideon knew that. He knew it was all reliant upon the Lord. As you read the events that took place, as Gideon was conversing with the Lord, you can see that Gideon totally knew it was going to be because of God. And he was fearful to go forward until he knew that God was going to be doing it. He wanted God to receive the the glory for this miraculous victory. And it was a miraculous victory, wasn't it? Can you imagine? 300 men against 135,000. And the reason for Gideon's name was added almost as an afterthought, for the sake of those in the camp of the Midianites who had heard his name and feared his power under God. See, Gideon's name was in the camp. You got to read that in the scripture. They had a vision. Cake rolling down a hill. They were going to get conquered. Gideon's name came into that. That's probably why Gideon's name was in there, because they heard of Gideon. The Midianites had been talking about a dream that God had given to them. In that dream, a barley cake had rolled down the hill and destroyed the Midianite tent. The Midianites became superstitious, immediately interpreted that dream to mean that the rough and tough small army of Gideon was going to utterly destroy them. That dream would come true because of God's fear in their camp. Thus, when Gideon's name was called, panic struck the camp of the Midianites, for their dream was coming true. God's plan for battle was aided by the fact that God also knows and controls the actions of his enemies. Did you know that, people? What we see happening in the world, God is in control.
Yes.
The enemy isn't in control. They may think they are, and they may look like they are, but my God is in control.
Yes.
My God is in control. And they could not stand against his power, and they knew it. And so it happens with those who love Jesus and their lives under the anointing and the directing of the power of the Holy Spirit. It's God working through us and in us to accomplish his will and his work and to defeat the enemy in our lives. How often do we hear of great men of faith that have tremendous revivals where multitudes are saved, healed, and delivered by the power of God? And there's still men and women of God who move and minister under the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit, and the powers of hell know who they are. They know who they are. When you and I are operating in that, hell knows us. And that Satan is fearful because it isn't us. It's who lives within us. When the seven sons of Sceva attempted to cast out devils without the anointing of the Holy Ghost, the demons answered them this way. Listen to this, people. Acts 19:15. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? Don't go try casting out devils if you're living in sin. Don't do it. But I tell you what, the enemy is frightened of somebody that is walking in the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit. When we are walking and trusting in the Lord, and all of our trust, all of our hope, all of our everything of our being is in Christ Jesus, the devil knows it. How many would love to have that type of a life, that you're so sold out to the Lord? You're so sold out to him. You walk in love. You walk in mercy. You walk in grace. You walk in victory in every area of your life. Not because of how wonderful you are. It's because how wonderful Jesus is. Those demons knew Paul, not because Paul was such a great man, but because they knew that the anointing of the Holy Ghost rested upon Paul and that Paul had power with God, and God was who they feared. See, your name and my name or the name of any other person doesn't mean a thing by itself. Doesn't mean a thing. But when you carry that anointing with you and when you speak God's will and God's word in God's way, then all the powers of hell will take note of who you are, and they will shudder when your name is mentioned because they know that you have power with God as his child. God has placed his burning and glowing light of the gospel within these earthen vessels. That's where it's at, people. That's how important we are. Like Gideon, we may just be, think of ourselves lowly and common people just living out a life and making it from day to day, but we're short-cutting God in our lives. We have to be willing vessels. We have to be willing if he says, go to the neighbor or go to your enemy and speak. If he's speaking into our lives. See, he's placed a trumpet in your hands to preach the message of salvation and deliverance to everyone you meet, and he's given you the sword of the Lord through the word of God. It's time to break this vessel of clay and surrender to God. Amen? Amen. Let's all stand, please. Let God use us to strike fear into the powers of darkness and defeat the enemy on his own ground. That's what we do. Jeremiah 20:11. But the Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one. Therefore my persecutors shall stumble, and they shall not prevail. They shall be greatly ashamed, for they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten. And that's what we're going to see in this world we're living in today. My God is at work in this world, people. My God is at work in my home. My God is at work in your home. My God, the God of the Bible, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, is doing a work, and he's moving supernaturally in our lives. And God delights in delivering his children. Did you know that? He delights in that. He's our strong and mighty tower, and he's our fortress, and he's our refuge. That's who we look to. Like Gideon, he totally surrendered to the Lord. And we need to be reminded that in this modern day that we live. It's not our pills and our doctors and our government and our finances and our jobs and our automobiles and our cars and our fancy clothes or any of that. We have to learn that we have to be like Gideon and listen for the angel of the Lord, the Lord God himself speaking into our lives, that it is he. It is he that is the source that you need in every aspect of your life. It is him that is doing the work in you to make you more like him. But he does that as you and I walk in obedience to his word. Hallelujah. With every head bowed, is there anybody that walked in here this morning that said, I've never surrendered my life to Jesus. I've never done that. If I died, I don't know if I'd go to heaven or not. Jesus said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and there are none righteous, no, not one. And the wages of sin is death, separation from this loving God, this mighty God who died on Calvary's cross. And he says to you, come unto me. Come unto me. Whosoever will, he said, come to me, and he'll no ways cast you out. He'll save you right on. Young or old, I don't care if you're in here. If the Holy Spirit is speaking in your heart, say, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want him to be the Lord of my life. I want to depend upon this God that has the power to use my life and do the work in my life. I want to surrender to him this morning. Is there anybody in here this morning? Just raise your hand up. Is there anybody? I'm always going to make that offer. I don't save. The Holy Ghost is the one who does the work, the conviction, and God does the choosing. But I give the invitation. Is there anybody? With all your heads bowed. Hallelujah, Jesus. How many in here would say that I need to be more like Gideon as an example that was totally surrendered to Jesus in my life? I need to see God moving in my life that I saw happening to Gideon. What happens when we totally surrender to you, Lord? What happened to Gideon's life when he totally surrendered? He defeated an army of 135,000 men because he was totally surrendered to God. And he was totally obedient to what God said he needed to do. And God's grace and mercy saved these 300 men in Gideon because they obeyed, they listened, they didn't compromise. And Lord, you see these hands this morning. My hand is up, Lord. Help me to be humble, Lord. Help me to do it so you don't have to do it, Father. Help me to realize that everything in my life comes from you. Everything that I accomplish is because of you. And Lord, I pray that over everyone that has their hand up, Lord, that we will listen to the Holy Spirit. We will listen to you through your word as we read it and apply it to our lives, that we can defeat the army of hell that is coming against us in our homes, in our jobs, wherever we're at, Lord. And when the lost come around us, Father, that we are a light, that when that light bursts forth, that we can win some, that we can exalt and exhort people to come to this loving God. I pray that for everyone who has their hands up, Lord, that we become on fire for Jesus. That, Lord, will we have your desire. Give us your desire to live holy lives, to live obedient lives, to live on fire lives. And we thank you and we praise you, Lord. And Father, now I just pray blessings upon every home that's represented here this morning. I pray for those who are not here because of illness, Lord, that your divine healing power goes forth. I declare it upon their homes. I pray, Lord, that you continue to do a work in us as a body, as a church, Father, that we will all become more like Jesus through living for you, through your word, and loving one another. Lord, let your unity move in this church, Father, that we truly, as the people of God, truly love each other. And the world's going to take note. And Lord, we just ask that you continue to move in our lives through the power of your Holy Spirit. And we thank you, we praise you, we glorify you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Stay excited about Jesus. Stay on fire for the Lord. He is God.